Hello and welcome to the podcast portion of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, previews, reviews, and interviews with baseball authors, artists, filmmakers, musicians, anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture. Because that's our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. Funny how discoveries are made. My wife and I were having lunch at the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge, Massachusetts last fall, and we dropped by the gift shop on the way out. Now usually I hover around the door, tapping my foot and watching my watch, but right at the front of the shop was a display of a couple of baseball books of all things, because normally these places are stocked with refrigerator magnets, jars of jams and jelly, and postcards, so this was a welcome surprise. The books in question, Baseball in the Bay State and Garrett Game by Game, were written by Kevin Larkin, a local retired police officer now working security at a hospital. A day or so later, we were in the Yellow House bookstore in Great Barrington, and I asked the proprietor about used baseball books, and she mentioned Larkin, obviously a local celebrity. I managed to find him online, Facebook does have its uses, and the ensuing correspondence resulted in this bookshelf conversation. Kevin Larkin, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
How are you, Ron?
Good, thank you. So, this is not your usual day job, is it? You're a retired police officer. You're working now as a security guard in your hometown. This is still your hometown?
Yes, born and bred.
So, how does someone born and bred in the heart of Red Sox Nation become a Yankees fan?
Well, when I was growing up, Ron, the only thing on TV for baseball was WPYX, which televised the Yankees, and WWR, which televised the Mets. And I just started watching the Yankees, mostly because my father hated Phil Rizzuto and I wanted to aggravate him.
That seems to be the way it is with rebellious children. So how hard is it to be a Yankees fan where you are?
It's not hard. You know, the thing is, Ron, is I think of myself as a baseball fan who likes the Yankees. You know, I can watch baseball all the time. The Yankees are my team, but to me there's nothing better than a good game of baseball.
Now, this is a very impressive book on the day-by-day progress of Lou Gehrig. Why is he one of your favorite players?
I remember, I can't remember the exact title of the book, but I was 7 or 8 years old, and the Mason Library in Great Barrington, that's where I went, you know, to get the books. And they had the cover of the book attracted me to it. It was orange, but I just cannot remember the title of it. And it was about Lou Gehrig. And I read it and reread it and reread it again. Brought it back, and I would take it out every month or so just to read the book. And then I saw the movie with Gary Cooper and Teresa Wright, and I just really came to admire him.
So, how long did this take to put together?
Probably about a year and a half.
And what did you use for, what was your research?
Baseball Hall of Fame. In Cooperstown, there's a ton of websites. I use parts of Ray Robinson's book, The Iron Horse, and Jonathan Eich's book about Lou Gehrig. And my thing was, Ron, is I knew he was a good ball player, but to read just a plain biography, it didn't really go into detail like I wanted to about Gehrig's baseball career, you know? And I just got it, and the more I got researching into it, I was just fascinated by how really good he was. I mean, and a lot of times you make a statement in about something like on the cover of Gehrig's book, I say he's one of the greatest hitters who ever lived. Well, if you read the book inside, you'll find out he really was. I mean, He didn't go for any real prolonged slumps until he got sick. And I was just blown away by how good he was. And I felt that a lot of times, too, when you mention Lou Gehrig, not to fans like you and I, because we know he's a baseball player, but a casual fan will think of the disease. And I just, I don't think that someone should be remembered for that. You know, I just think he was a great player, and that's what he should be remembered for.
Now, you do write about the disease at the end of the book. Do you have any personal experience with it? I mean, you work at a hospital. Do you have any personal connection with people with Lou Gehrig's disease?
I've had a couple close friends that have passed away because of it, and I just wanted to know more about it myself. I did not plan on putting the ALS section in the book, but the more I researched, and I had three doctors that helped me research this, and it was just fascinating to learn about it. I mean, it's just an awful disease to have. The thing is that your body is destroyed, but your mind stays. You know, and it's just, you know, the only person off the top of my head who survived for any prolonged time with this is Stephen Hawking.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the process of the book. This is your second book. Your first book was Baseball in the Bay State. Both books you did with Troy Bookmakers. How did you make the decision that they were the outfit you wanted to go with?
Well, when I originally started, I had no desire to write a book when this started. I just loved to collect baseball books and loved to read about baseball. Excuse me. And I went into the local bookstore, the Book Loft in Great Barrington, and the owner, Eric Wilska, says, Wilska, W-I-L-S-K-A, said, you like baseball, huh? And I said, yeah. He says, did you ever think about writing a book? And I said, no, not really. He said, well, you should. And I asked him, well, what should I write about? And he put his arm around his shoulder like a father would to his son and said, that's your problem, son. But he actually put me in touch with Troy Bookmakers. He has some interest in the company, which is okay. You know, I mean, they're great people to deal with. It was a wonderful experience.
Now, this is your second book with them. What did you learn from doing the first one that either changed the way you did the second one or improved it in some way?
That's actually a pretty hard question to answer. I think what I learned was that it's important to cement connections that you make. The first book led me to connections that helped me sell more books. The more books I sold, the more in-depth into research I can go because I have more money available because I self-publish. And it's a fascinating process. I'm so glad that everything, you know, fell into place like it did, you know. Sitting in a patrol car running radar as a police officer, I never, ever imagined I would write a book. I got sick of writing reports all the time, you know. But because of what I did as a police officer, I think that helped as well because, number one, I investigated major crimes. I was at Simon's Rock campus when they had a shooting situation there where a guy came out with an AK-47 and shot up the campus. So obviously that was a detailed report. I reconstructed accidents, again, which is a detailed report. And the writing kind of gave me therapy to relax. You know, I didn't brood about things.
That's a good point, writing for relaxation. And because this wasn't your full-time job, I mean, a lot of people do that for relaxation. They'll turn to music, they'll turn to painting, they'll turn to writing. So it's nice that you found this outlet. You mentioned the bookstore in Great Barrington. From what I observed going through the Stockbridge area, the book community there is very supportive.
Yes. Yes, and one of my biggest supporters in this is the Red Lion Inn. I can remember that the manager of the gift shop, Jane Church, she called me up when my first book came out. And I said, she says, "Are you Kevin Larkin?" And I said, "Yeah." And she says, she introduced herself and she says, "We'd like to sell your book in the gift shop." And I said, "Are you sure it's going to sell in there?" You know, because I just didn't think of it as the type of book that that would sell in there. I thought it was more arts and music based than it was sports based. And it's been so successful, I can hardly keep the books in stock up there.
That's great. That's great. So, have you done author events?
Yes.
Yes,
she has. Every in the winter and in the summer, they have a Meet the Author series that I go up to. It's not a formal speaking engagement, Ron, but you know, you come up and you and I talk. You know, you and I would talk about book and stuff like that. I speak before schools, civic organizations, the Rotary, the Kiwanis, the thing is, when I speak before the schools, I don't really talk about the content of the book so much as that you need school. You know, I kind of try to base it in an educational way where you may not think that you want to know what's going on, you know, what the teacher is telling you, but later on in life, you're going to need this stuff. And I hope I get through to the kids, you know. I think that's the part I enjoy the most is, you know, speaking to the schools and stuff like that because, you know, I was where they were. I didn't care about school. I wanted to play hockey, play baseball, go out with girls. You know, I didn't want to learn about algebra and English and history, you know.
Do you have any plans for a third book?
I'm glad you brought that up. I will have a third book released March 4th. It's in conjunction with two other authors, Derek Gentile and Jim Overmeyer. And Arrowhead in Pittsfield, where Herman Melville wrote Moby Dick, they are having a museum exhibit put together that we helped put together along with Larry Moore, who's an educational consultant with the Baseball Hall of Fame. We wrote a book about the history of baseball in Berkshire County called Baseball in Berkshire County, A County's Common Bond. And we talked about the major leaguers that grew up in Berkshire County, like Mark Belanger, Jeff Reardon, Jack Chesbrough, and Frank Grant. And we went into the history of baseball at Wacona Park, the Pittsfield Bylaw, stuff like that. And hopefully it's going to turn out well. And if you would like, I will send you a copy of that as well.
Now, it's interesting. I read the biography about Carlton Fisk coming from that area as well, and that's a tough area to produce major league players because you don't have the kind of weather that they have in Southern California.
No, but in Massachusetts, you know, I mean, we have Massachusetts as a whole. You had Tom Glavine, Pye Trainer. You know, there was 660. Players that were born in Massachusetts and wanted the major league careers. I found this out in doing my first book. And 14 people from Massachusetts are in the Baseball Hall of Fame. two of them are from my area, Frank Grant and Jack Chesbrough. And when we initially talked about putting this book together with Arrowhead, we had to think of what we want to do. And I said what I felt was that, you know, out of the thousands and thousands, Ron, that played Major League Baseball, only 314 are in the Hall of Fame. Two of them come from this area of Massachusetts, which is quite a bit. I mean, it's not a heavy populated area. And like you said, the weather is not conducive to baseball. And, excuse me, I think that's pretty amazing. And what I would like to see is, you know, how sometimes you, when you enter a town, they say, you know, the birthplace of George Washington, for example. I want to have a, my dream would be to put up a sign, and not at every entrance to the town, but the major roadways, that, you know, excuse me, Pittsfield is the birthplace of Frank Grant, and North Adams is the birthplace of Jack Chesbrough. I mean, they were two fantastic ball players that probably not a lot of people know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going back a long ways.
Yes.
All right, we've been talking with Kevin Larkin, author of two books that are already out, Garrett Game by Game and Bay State Baseball.
Baseball in the Bay State.
And yep. A forthcoming book. Congratulations on that. And
thank you, Ron.
Kevin, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
And that was our bookshelf conversation with Kevin Larkin. Tune in again next time when we'll have another fascinating guest from the world of baseball pop culture. As much a surprise to me as it will be to you and him or her, I suppose. In the meantime, visit Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews in the world of baseball literature. And remember, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, please send them to ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.